Hi, Morgan. Thank you for being here. I'm so excited to connect with you today for many different reasons. We've known each other for a while, and we started out in the CrossFit world, and then it was very exciting to see you. Where are you now? Tell us where you are now, and then we'll kind of go into your history.
Cool. Well, no, thanks for having me. I'm excited to do this with you. So, as you mentioned, we met CrossFit world. Since then, I guess back in the CrossFit world, I was doing my articling at Ernst & Young. I did my CPA and then moved over to the investment banking world, did my CDV. But now I'm actually working for a smaller company in corporate finance as well, doing mergers and acquisitions for them. So has done kind of my career's evolved a lot over the time, but I think so is a lot of things in my life.
For sure. And where are you now in your fertility journey? Why did you reach out? And then where are you now?
So I reached out. Well, I think I was starting to get, and maybe it was just the content I was starting to consume. The algorithms are so clever these days. But I was hearing a lot about women starting to struggle with fertility. And so for context now, I'm 33. And I would say this is probably like 30-ish, 30, 31 is when I was like really getting a lot of content or consuming a lot of content about uphill battles with fertility. And I had to listen to podcasts, yours being one of them, just talking about, you know, women who had been on birth control for years, who had experienced PCOS, you know, various challenges or just had never really understood their bodies. And that kind of, I would say I kind of spiraled in a good way in the sense of trying to understand that better because I had been told by doctors there might be some challenges conceiving. And so I was trying to just get ahead of things. And fast forward to now, I'm 33 and I'm 37 weeks pregnant. So
yeah, we're getting ready to meet your baby.
A very positive story. Yeah. So it's all paid off, but it started definitely a good 3 years ago before kind of investigating.
For sure. So tell me, why did the doctors tell you that you might be struggling to conceive?
So I'd always had a bit of an irregular cycle. Like ever since when I first started, I guess when I got my first period, it was always very heavy. The doctor just immediately put me on birth control to help like manage hormones. And that was like my mom had that. So we naively didn't really think much about it. Then couldn't really find a birth control that worked great. Ended up getting on an IUD. As they were kind of exploring that option, they did ultrasound and said, oh, you might have some cysts, you know, there. You might have PCOS. It's really hard to diagnose. But let's assume
they're
you
trying
do.
To diagnose you while you had the, like they were trying to diagnose you while you had the IUD in?
Before I had the IUD. That was kind of what led them down the path that like maybe the IUD would be a really good option for you. And so I ended up getting the IUD. It was awesome. Like I had it. I did the full 5 years for the first time. Never got a cycle. Did, you know, once that it had expired, got it put, you know, taken out, put back in. And it was awesome. It was, never had a period while I was on it. So life was great. It was CrossFitting lots, working out, super active, very busy, high stress job. So honestly, didn't think much of it, to be honest. And then, you know, you kind of get to a point in your life. It's like I was engaged and, you know, we weren't ready to start thinking about children. But at the point where, hey, I've not had a period in probably a good 10 years. And I should probably figure this out before we get to that stage of our lives where we want this to happen.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's good. You're very proactive. And so, I mean, I guess, was it just the fear of, keep telling your story because it's very fascinating.
Yeah.
You basically decided that I should probably pull out my IUD and figure out what's going on with my cycle, even though I remember you were like not really ready to start trying for 1 to 2 years. So you were very proactive.
Yeah. And honestly, I was quite nervous to pull it. My family physician was, I would say, she
nervous because you would get pregnant or nervous because of the symptoms?
Because of the symptoms. Because yeah. I had never ever understood my cycle at all. And I think it was just like, how disruptive was it going to be to my life? And, you know, am I going to be going through these like hormonal waves and,
you not know, be able to train as much as you want to.
Yeah. Am I going to like put on weight because my hormones are fluctuating? And, you know, like what's going to happen? And it was just, my family physician was kind of like, oh, well, if you're not ready to get pregnant, then why are you pulling this? And I just kind of in my head was like, no, I think it's the right time. Like I'm done with this, you know, let's figure it out. And so I think that was...
That's our inner voice, you know? I love that because I remember my doctor when he told me, go on birth control. I was being sexually active and I was 16 turning 17. And the question that I had was like, how long can I be on this? And he was like, forever. And then you could just go on HRT. And that day I was like, I'll go on it now. But like my feeling was like, something doesn't seem right there, you know? And it's very powerful to start listening to that because... I think it leads you, you know, into the right direction.
Right. And I think, too, I would say about a year before I had pulled it, I had talked to my doctor about like, hey, like, how do we manage, you know, if I have struggles getting pregnant or managing my cycle, what are my options? You know, like how, you know, do you do testing? Do you like kind of, you know, a lot about what you talk about getting to that root cause? It's like, to what extent are you going to work with me to get there? And her comment was, well, try for 6 months to get pregnant. If you can't, we'll send you to the fertility clinic and we'll get you pregnant. And at that point in time, I was like, awesome. That sounds great. Easy. I'm busy. I'm like a, you know, corporate gal. Yes. I don't have time to figure this out. So good. You have a plan. I now have a plan. Let's move on. And then as I started learning more about all these things, I'm like, that's not a plan. That's a like triage situation in times when you
don't. I think it's quite ignorant to be actually to say that because I'm seeing plenty of couples who have gone through multiple rounds of IVF and it didn't work. And so to just be like, yeah, don't worry, we'll get you pregnant, I think is completely overseeing the complexity of the situation and everything that needs to happen. Because truthfully, it's 6 to 9 months to do IVF, if it's going to work at all, minimum. And, you know, people have extended their journeys for years because of it. So
what I remember, I was talking to my, well, then fiance, but now husband, about it a little bit. And I just said, you know, now that I'm kind of learning more about it, that response doesn't really resonate with me because I'm like, if you're struggling to get pregnant, there's in a reason why. And so if you kind of force your body into that, what's the quality of that pregnancy? And it's like, you know, I hope for anyone who goes to that, they have a super healthy baby and everything works out. But it's like your body gets rocked through pregnancy. And it's like, to the extent you're not going in with everything, like all systems go, it's just such a disadvantage to yourself. And, you know, it just doesn't seem as joyful, maybe, because you're like, I feel like garbage. This is not fun. This is really, really hard.
Yeah. That's my whole thing. My first pregnancy really rocked me and I did zero preparation. And it's so exciting to hear, you know, and you'll tell us a little bit about your pregnancy and how it has been. But I'm like, how as a naturopathic doctor did I not know, like the recommendation was take a prenatal for 3 months. And I'm like, what's a prenatal for 3 months? Like a multivitamin, essentially, to make sure you're not depleted. And it's just the hardest thing that the female body will ever do. And I'm continuing to learn about all the courses and everything that has to happen. Sometimes I'm amazed we're all even here. You know, I'm like, how does it even happen at all? Because there's so many things that have to be right. And so anyways, it's just a little alarming to me as well when somebody says that, where I'm like, I don't know if you've seen all the cases and if you really understand it.
Yeah, I think too, I think it's a little bit with social media and it's becoming more like less taboo to talk about.
Which is great.
Which I think is really doing everyone we're doing ourselves a disservice by not talking about it. But at the same time, I think now it's becoming so much more apparent, the struggles that are happening. And, you know, women are talking about it more, learning from each other. I think it's so important and empowering to understand it. But it's, okay, now if you're struggling, it's like, well, now what do you do? How do you tackle that? And that's what people like you come in play, right?
Yeah, what I will say is, like, it's really important to talk about it. It's also important not to normalize it, because now if you're seeing couples that are going, oh, we're just going to start saving for IVF because we don't even know, but we're just going to assume that we're going to struggle, versus like we used to save for our kids' college fund, you know, that's where I want to really change it up and say, hey, that's not normal. Let's make sure we actually put preconception care as the most fundamental thing that you can do, and we start teaching women about their menstrual cycle. We get women off birth control and teach men about reproductive health and all that stuff, and how to keep their sperm healthy. But essentially, it's just like, stay healthy so your sperm can be healthy. Mm-hmm. And then we can, you know, slowly get out of this mess.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%.
So tell me when the wheels started to turn, where you were like, I don't know if this is a plan. And then what was your next step?
So I think reaching out to you was really the next step. And it was, I was kind of unsure, like, when the
You were working with other naturopaths as well, though. You were trying to figure out.
A little bit. I would say, yes, I was working with one other one, which was good. Just, I would say, like, getting my feet wet into, like, the naturopathic world of, and she was very, like, I would say, more sport focused and performance focused. So it was good, because when I'm talking to her about, like, hey, like, I maintain a high activity level, I've got a high demand at work, like, how can I support my body through this? And so she kind of opened it up of the sense of, okay, here's, you know, high stress, you're good, like, these minerals are going to get more depleted because of that. Okay, you're training, make sure your protein's sufficient. If we don't understand cycle, that's okay. Let's talk about it. And I think that's when even she was introducing things like temperature tracking and cervical fluid. And she's like, you need to start understanding how your cycle's working. And I think I took that all, I would say, a bit loosely, because I just didn't really understand the significance or importance of it yet. But at least it opened my eyes to, you don't need a piece of data to tell you when you are ovulating, when your period's coming, you know. It's like, start, like, tuning into little things with your body.
Yeah, you mean, like, you don't need LH strips, or you don't need to, like, start doing all of the lab testing already. There's signals that your body's giving you on a regular basis.
Exactly. So I would say that was kind of, like, getting my feet wet. And then when I feel like I kind of just reached a point where I was like, okay, I know you from the CrossFit world. I followed you. Let's dig in a little bit deeper. And I think I've looked at, like, with your two programs, like the one-on-one versus the 101, the kind of more of the group setting. And I think you and I decided, let's start with the group setting and just jump in and see, you know, where we get to, and then, you know, learn from there and figure it out.
Yep, for sure. Yeah. Like, let's not find problems that aren't there. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I'm always going to find something. That's my job,
That's
right?
That's your job.
But I think when you're first starting out, it's so valuable to just go through and be like, well, this is what people who are struggling with infertility are doing, and this is how they're reversing their fertility issues. Wouldn't that make sense for me to do that as my preconception care, so then I don't have the issues? And that's essentially the premise of the program, is like, this is what somebody's struggling with 5 years, 8 years, 7 years, whatever, 2 years of infertility doing to fix and reverse it. If you do these things as well, then you will reverse any issues that you may have had and therefore not really have them.
Right. And I think, too, with the program, there's so much learning and education to it, too. Like, it's not just, okay, you need to be on these supplements. It's like, okay, let's kind of evaluate your lifestyle, your habits, your environment, which I think was a really important piece of the puzzle that I think is going to pay dividends in my future for sure, because it's changed so many habits in our lives. And I thought that was, like, such a valuable start to it, on top of then actually understanding the female cycle. Like, what's happening with hormones? Why are they doing that? What are the things we need to look for? And I think Because you kind of, as you start and you do like your preliminary test, you get your blood work done, and then you can benchmark yourself to say, okay, you know, what's my average heart rate, my HRV, how's my blood work looking? And then using, you know, kind of the tools you've provided to say, okay, this is scoring well, this needs improvement. And so I think one of the first things, like obviously I ran the blood panel and it was good. Like it wasn't, there weren't any red flags from what my physician had run, what was coming up. The Oura Ring was, I think, a really valuable piece.
I knew you would love it just because of the like CrossFit and the data and sleeping and all
so
of that.
Cool.
Yeah.
But I think too, just having something tangible to look at data wise, not just to get up in the morning and say to yourself, do I feel rested or not? But to be able to say, okay, when did my heart rate dip last night? What was my respiratory rate? And then kind of take that alongside what was the type of day I had yesterday? Like, was I in board meetings all day? Okay, yeah, that's probably why my stress, you know, is say you're stressed for X hours a day and you're like, okay, it all kind of checks out now. And that was, I think, a really important piece to start this tracking process. And then taking that in tandem with the cycle tracking and seeing like temperature flipping and how your heart rate's doing and your recovery on top of like workouts that you're doing. So you're like, okay, yeah, my body's having a hard time this week because it's like right before my period starts, or I'm on my period and I actually feel really good. That's great. Okay, awesome. So that was, I think, a really cool piece of data that I think, not that I wasn't already invested, but I think helped kind of get there a little bit faster to say, okay, how can I improve these metrics even more?
Yeah, I remember you nerding out on those a lot, which is awesome, because I'm sure like you have been nerding it out on it since pregnancy too, because we could actually tell, right, when you got pregnant and what that temperature looks like in the first little bit versus, and then it'll be super cool to see once you're through labor and you'll be, it's amazing. Like my heart rate went from like 60 to 43 in one day, because after I gave birth, it's like everything just, and then the HRV goes up, like it's wild.
It's like I've tracked my whole, like all the trimesters through the Oura app, and it, like, not that I didn't doubt pregnancy was hard on your body, but it is very fast evidence when you see your HRV just plummet, your heart rate's going up, and you're like, okay, yeah, no wonder I'm tired. You know, it is like, it's just pure evidence that your body is working hard.
Yeah. What would you say, because you kind of, if I asked you, like, what were the three biggest things that you learned through the program that helped you go from like being confused, not sure about your fertility journey, being fearful that it's going to struggle, to like, I got this. And then I believe you got pregnant on your first try, which doesn't, right?
Yeah.
We always say 3 to 4 months. So when it happens on the first try, it's always nice, because then you're like, oh God, thank God, I don't have to wait.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I would say the education piece was really important. I think that was like the first piece of the puzzle that needed to be solidified to kind of then build from there. And so then as I'm learning things, I'm kind of piecing it back together, like, okay, maybe it's because of this hormone, maybe it's because of this or that. I think then layering the testing on top of that. So you've got your education, you've got the testing, now you're like fitting the puzzle pieces together. And obviously then the supplements kind of come supporting there. So you can see them working when you see, you know, okay, I'm getting rid of toxins. I can tell I'm recovering better. You know, that's so like, was just really cool to just put the pieces together. And then I think probably like the last piece a little bit too was like, obviously for the whole success of pregnancy, engaging my partner, like my husband, Brian, he was all very supportive through all of it, but wasn't like, I would say, jumping right in. He kind of just watched me. He's a very social butterfly and has a big group of friends. And so him like not, you know, being, he's at social events a lot. So for him, the doing a detox program or, you know,
10 weeks is a long time.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a big commitment. And so there were certain pieces where I just kind of would change them in our house, our lifestyle. So he wouldn't necessarily do what my 100% would be, but he'd maybe be, you know, 70 or 80%. So, you know, as I'm changing the food we're buying to be like, okay, we're choosing a few more organic options versus not, or we're getting an air purifier in our room. Okay, we've got the sauna. Hey, why don't you jump in there a couple times a week? Here's some supplements. Take these. Here's some juice. Drink this.
And I'm looking just at my husband's desk and I'm like, he literally has like four bottles and right? I'm just like, I label them and I'm like, just take these at lunchtime.
Yeah, exactly. And so I did the same thing. I'd be like, here, take these when you run out the door in the morning and, you know, we'll have these at dinner. So, you know, it's like, okay, it's certainly not perfect, but it's better than nothing. And even things like, it's bringing awareness, protein consumption, strength training. And so even like he's made a lot of changes through like the type of workouts he's doing. He's doing a lot more strength, you know, focused and just being mindful of protein. And so it's, you know, it's like, okay, these are really important changes that move the needle. Even though you're not doing the full detox, you know, you are making really positive changes to your lifestyle. So I think having him on board with that made me feel more supported, that I wasn't just carrying the team on it. And so I'd also encouraged him to get, when he went for his like annual physical, I was like, get the full blood panel. Let's see what that looks like. So he did that. We looked at that and he did get a sperm analysis, which I think it was good with, I think there's one or two markers that were off, which really surprised him. And I think that was a good wake up call to say
many like, data. It's so hard to convince men to do anything without data because they're so logical.
Yeah. You know? So that was a really important piece of that too. So, and then I think about, I would say leading up to, you know, us wanting to try, there were definitely changes like reducing alcohol consumption. I mean, none of us smoke, so that was never an issue, but I had probably made mine effectively, I don't want to say zero, but maybe like one drink a week, you know, if it was a social event and I wanted to. And then Brian definitely cut his back substantially as well.
Did you have a time where you'd like had to sit down and talk with him?
Yes.
Versus, do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes we're just making our changes, and I think your case is different because it's different from what I see in a perspective where you haven't been struggling. And the men, when they need logic, there's a lot of times they're like, well, why would we even, like, how do you know we're going to have an issue? Why are you spiraling, quote unquote, out of control or doing all this testing or taking the supplements or doing all this detoxing? We're not really struggling. And they don't understand what you have been watching or listening and how I'm over here sitting and telling you that preconception care is really important. Let's bring the man, you know, on board, and I have modules. But I'm just wondering, when was the point where you were like, I need to sit down and actually talk to him and help him understand how important it was? And like, you know, what was your approach to that conversation? You obviously don't have to give us details, but I think this is where a lot of women struggle because their men are like, we're not struggling yet, relax. Or we've only been struggling for 6 months, you know?
I think it wasn't one conversation, it was probably a series of many.
Yes, thank you for saying that. That's right.
I would say his initial perspective was exactly what you were saying. Like, let's just try. If we have problems, then let's do all of this work. And I guess to me, I was just, I think I explained to him like why I wanted to go down this path. It was like, okay, I've had some, you know, cycle problems, challenges in the past. This is like this is uncharted waters for me. So it's really important that I wrap my head around this and feel confident going into it. And so it kind of started with like my why and helping him understand that this is actually really important to me. And then we've had, I would say, amongst our friends of diversity, some have had excellent pregnancies and some have had really challenging pregnancies and some have had a really hard time getting pregnant or staying pregnant. And so I think being in that environment, your eyes just naturally start to get open to say, okay, this isn't maybe like we just snap our fingers and
maybe it's not as a given as we thought it would be.
It's not. Yeah. And I think, too, I started expressing to him that, you know, to the extent that I can be prepared, like how much more successful and optimized my pregnancy will be, how much better I'll feel. So then I'm a better partner through that. And then postpartum too, that it's not, I mean, some women get rocked in postpartum. And I mean, I haven't been there, so I don't know yet what mine's is going to be like. But to the extent that I feel like prepared going into it, I can confidently say that to the extent I'm able to. And so I think like sharing some of those like fears and concerns and like how I think I want to optimize that kind of shifted his knowledge that, okay, well, maybe some pre-work wouldn't be a bad idea. And I think and as I kind of went through this process with you and I'm tracking my cycle and I'm learning things that I'm sharing that with him. And I'm like, Bri, this is really positive. You know, like I am, you know, like I have.
And he's seeing you change, right? He's seeing you change. He's seeing you be like your skin is glowing and your digestion is better and you're losing a little inflammation and, you know, like your presence and all of that changes. And I think I always say we pass just like we can catch a bed bug, like a cold or a flu or whatever. We also share the good microbiome. And so I think about that with my partners, like even if he didn't do anything, your microbiome improving will improve his microbiome because now the food that you're cooking, the intimacy, anything, right? Like it's a home that you're sharing. So it's really important, but it's a lot harder when it's just one person doing all the stuff because essentially the bugs are, you know, mixing and matching. But yeah, I mean, once they start seeing it and once they see the data, that's when it goes, oh, we just need them to be on board enough to say, why don't you just go get some lab testing done?
Right.
And then we can see if things are good. And if they are, then we don't need to do anything. And if they're not, then here's how we're going to fix it.
And I mean, I just feel there's always something you can work on, you know, to the extent that, you know, like kind of that. And that's what I
I'm always going to find something.
Always going to find something. And I think it's just, it's our lifestyles. You get busy with work, with family, with friends, and things just get tucked to the side. And it's a nice like reset to be like, okay, am I drinking 2 to 3 liters of water a day? You know, it's like, oh, is that really good quality water I'm drinking? Or let's just drink the water and then we'll work on the quality of the water after, you know? And so that was, I think, just like little resets we made in our house. And, you know, there's certain things that he's like, I remember when I was in the detox eating raw garlic that he's like, I don't really love this week. This isn't awesome because I can smell that. And I was like, I don't love it either. So that's okay. He's like, I'm not going to do that. That's okay. But, you know, when I'm making the that liver cleansing juice, he was like, this is awesome. I love this. And when I have it in the fridge, I'm like, okay, here's Brian's bottle. Here's my bottle.
Good. That makes me so happy.
It's so good. And now he just
I'm like, my babies drink it. And so it's like during pregnancy, this I didn't know about it in my first pregnancy, but in my second, it like it helped with nausea. It helped with so many things.
So good.
That it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's funny because now he'll be like, hey, do we have any of the juice left? Can we get some more? Can we order some? Like, can we get other flavors? And it's like, wait. I'm like, yeah, it's a bit time consuming. I can't make it all the time. But yeah, to the extent that he's, you know, wanting to explore some of those paths because he's like, it tastes great. And I know it's good for me. So that's.
Yep. We were just making it the other day. And my husband, JP, as he was making it, he's like, because I chopped it up and I got him to do it through the juice. He's like, I don't even need to drink the juice. I just feel healthy making it.
Right?
It's so many good things in it that you're like, oh God, I feel so good just making
this. So good. Yeah.
Yeah. When did you know you were ready? And I mean, I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about the mental and emotional component, because I think everybody, like every woman, it is a very spiritual journey, if you will. Because I remember when I met you and you're like, I just want to make sure my period is fine, to like, I'm fine. You know, we haven't decided if we want to have kids, to like, no, I'm ready and I want to start trying now. What was the switch for you, if you will, and some of the mental emotional hurdles that you went through?
I think, yeah, to your point exactly, we were very much, both Brian and I were very unsure if we want, I think we knew at some point we wanted children, but just mentally was never really there. I think a large part of that is just being told that it's going to be a challenge. So it was kind of a way of like protecting my inner peace a little bit by saying, okay, maybe not. you know, but if I'm unsure and it doesn't happen, maybe I'll be less disappointed. So I think going through this whole process definitely built with the education, you're seeing the data, you're seeing the metrics changing in your favor, built the confidence to say, okay, like I actually think my body is capable of doing this. And when the time comes, I'm feeling more optimistic about that. I don't truly think there was a time where we're like, yes, now is it for us to, like, we are ready to have kids. Even now, pregnant, I'm like, I think this is awesome, but I also am like really nervous, but I'm excited, but I'm like, it's a whole mess of emotions. But I think it was just like, it just, we got to a point where we were on, like, I had spent the kind of the spring and summer working through the detox. I felt incredible. I had been getting compliments. People would say, oh, your skin's glowing, or you look super lean. And I certainly wasn't on the program for any sort of weight loss. But I just remember I got headshots done at work, and looking at the photos, I was like, I look really healthy.
I look radiant. Look at me.
And
that's just me.
Yeah, exactly. We had gone on actually our honeymoon in September. We went to Africa, and a lot of the medications that you have to take to prepare yourself and protect yourself, the doctors are like, okay, do not get pregnant on these. And I was like, okay. So I remember I said to Brian, you know what? I think when we get back, let me give my body just one cycle to just process. I'll just kind of get back in the system, jump in the sauna a few times. And then I think let's give it a go and see what it's all about. And, you know, feel like kind of like, I mean, if for lack of better word, you're just kind of, cause you just don't know. And I think we had like very mentally prepared that it might take time. And we were obviously fortunate it did not. But to the point though, I was tracking my cycle. I knew when I was ovulating. I had all the symptoms, and it was just like, you know, you weren't
tracking it with LH strips. You were just tracking it on like your symptoms.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I did use LH strips just because I was curious to see if it matched up with what I was seeing. But no, it was just like the paper tracker that you had provided, and just to say, okay, like what is the consistency of this fluid? And, you know, do I think that this is peaking, and is it not? And where are we in the cycle? And I remember just sharing all the data with Brian, and I was like, okay, like this is what's happening. And it was probably within, it was so shortly after that I was like, something's different. And then Aura Ring,
the temperature
is just skyrocketing. And I'm like, okay, something's off. Like, there's a really good chance I might be pregnant. And I remember kind of sharing this with Brian, because I was like so doubtful that I was like, something's off, but you know, it could be, but it's like, of course you could be. Like,
yeah, we try.
We understand biology. Like, of course you could be, you know? And, but it just kind of, you're just watching it. And I remember, there wasn't like a time when I'm like, okay, yeah, this is it. We need, like, I am fully ready. But it was just like, I think I had the confidence in my body, and I was like excited to try. Let's see what happens. And I also felt like I had a lot of resources behind me that I'm like, okay, let's give it a few months and see what happens. And if not, we know how to pivot. And I think I was actually doing the Dutch test right in that period of time. And I said to the gal, I was like, I don't think I'm pregnant, but if I am, does that wreck the test? She's like, oh yeah, totally voids it.
Yes.
I was like, okay, yeah, there's no way I am, but like, I'll just keep going along. And then sure enough,
yeah,
voided it. I was like, oops, okay, well,
yeah,
for another time.
I think, I don't want to like oversimplify it, but if I look at, zoom out and look at your journey, and you came feeling very fearful, uncertain, and like you said, very protective of just like, maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. And genuinely, I see this a lot. And I very much like, I challenge my patients and, you know, my participants in the program always to like, what is this about? Is this because you don't want to be disappointed versus you truly don't want to have children? Because I've seen women time and time again, when they confront that fear and that disappointment, all of a sudden it's like, no, you know what? I really do want to have kids. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that so then in case it doesn't work out, I'm okay. And it's totally valid, but I think it's important to bring that out because it is a very different energy of like, no, I'm ready. So I don't want to oversimplify it, but it seems like you were in the space where you were really fearful, really not sure, to like, I'm excited and let's do it. Let's like curious.
Yeah.
And the biggest factor was like, you just had a deeper understanding of your body. And that's what essentially made you go from, I have no idea what's going to happen, to like, let's see what happens.
Totally.
Is that like, no, is that accurate?
That's very accurate. Yes. No, because I remember just when we
talked. Just the knowledge and how your body works. That's amazing.
Well, I just remember saying to Brian, I think we should like, we should give it a go, you know, like, let's see what happens. And I think also, you know, it's, yes, age is always in the back of your head, like just being a female, inherently it is. But we think we were also just at a chapter in our lives where we had done a lot individually. We had done a lot and achieved a lot together. And it's just kind of like very, everything kind of works out in a really nice way. And it was just like really great timing, to the extent that you can't time these sorts of things. But reflecting back on it, I'm like, this is perfect for us.
Yeah.
And we feel really grateful for that.
Yep. It's sometimes it, I mean, and here's what I'll say is, there is a lot of women who do plan like you do, but there is not a lot of women who act proactively. And this is what, like, they've been told that they would struggle, and then they didn't do anything because they didn't know what to do.
Right.
They were just, right, and now we have so much information that the whole point is, if you feel like you're going to struggle because you have cycle issues, because you've been on birth control for 5, 6, 10, 15 years, then even if you don't want to have a kid ever, why not optimize your health, period?
Right.
You know?
Well, and I think, I know you've said it, but I've heard many others say it as well, your cycle being your monthly report card. And to the extent that you don't have one, or you're suppressing it, or you just are kind of ignoring it, I think that's a huge disservice to ourselves. And I was definitely in the, let's suppress it. I will deal with that when I want.
Yeah, you said it earlier. You were like, I didn't have a period for 10 years. It was fantastic.
It was great. And I think that, and I said this even to Brian from the get-go, that I'm like, at the end of all of this, if I have optimal health, that's great. You know, if I get pregnant at the end, even like that's even better. But there's just, I have nothing to lose by trying to optimize my health. And I don't know, I think cycles and periods can be just demonized a bit. And it's better to not have one than have one. Or it's just like, oh, I haven't had one in 6 months. Whatever, you know. And I think that, I think there are the changes happening where women are becoming more aware and feeling like, I need to understand my body better. But it's taken a long time to get there. And I feel like of kind of girlfriends that I have and of kind of my network of people, we were kind of that, I would say, generation that came up.
Yeah.
That it was like,
yeah, I was in that generation too. Yeah.
Right? You have your cycle, you go on birth control, you go off birth control when you want to get ready, and we don't talk about cortisol levels and stress too much, and you just work out lots, and you just eat low fat, and, you know, protein, like whatever, eat it, don't eat it, just like keep lean, do cardio. And it's like, I think that generation's it's changing. We're making those changes now because we're like, you know what, our health isn't optimal anymore. We need to, there's better things we can do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if I look at my mom, who like has never lifted a weight and won't, because it's just, she's 65. That's not a thing that her generation ever did. And what a shame, right? Because now we have women, if I look around and I see women who are lifting weights and getting strong, and I'm like, yes, like we are doing it. You know, the CrossFit obviously has changed that, but lots of things have changed that and popularized it, because you know, you just, it's not strong as the new skinny, I think. Is that the saying?
Yep, I believe so. Yep. But I think it holds true. And I feel the same way. My mom was the same. My sister and I were heavy in the CrossFit world. And we expressed to our parents how important protein consumption was. And we'd come home from school and we'd share these like learnings that we had from, you know, whatever we were learning at CrossFit at that point in time. And my parents now, like my mom goes and lifts weights. My dad, you know, he I wouldn't say is like lifting heavy weights, but he's still doing strength training. And they're both finding ways to stay super active. And I mean, like they both look incredible. And obviously like they're excited to be new grandparents, but that wasn't the motivation before that. It was, you know, bone density and health and flexibility and, you know, lung capacity and cardiovascular activity. And there's so many benefits. And you see, I think as Brian and I are observing amongst, I would say our, like our peers, both our age and our parents' age, those who are choosing the active lifestyles, you know, are, you see the difference in aging rates very quickly. And there was a really interesting podcast I listened to, and they were talking about somebody were interviewing somebody on it, and they had said, you know, it's easy when you become parents to like give so much of your time to your children and sacrifice so much. And it's like, well, we don't disagree. That is also the time you need to be able to carve out for yourself. Like for sure. You should be, as a new parent, the strongest you've been, the fittest you've been, because that is just makes you a better parent and is a role model to your family. And it's like, how cool is it to have your, you know, your kid go up to you and say, "Dad, I'm so like proud. Like you're so strong. Like that was so cool. Whatever you did." Versus
they might not even say that. The thing I've coached kids for a long time, like with gymnastics, and then obviously now having my own kids. And the biggest thing that I will say is when I watch the kids who were successful, not just in gymnastics, but they continue to stay active throughout, because, you know, the kids that I coach, they're like 25 now, which is crazy to believe because I'm like, am I that old? But the kids that were successful and continue to be active in, whether it was gymnastics or any other sports, had parents who were just active versus the parents who would sit on the sidelines and wanted their kids to do the sports but never did any activity. And to me, like my kids, when they watch us work out, they just think that's part of the norm. So they don't think I'm great for doing pull-ups or doing whatever, because they don't have a baseline of any kind. But to them now it becomes normal for a female to do pull-ups. So they're learning and they're repeating after me to be like, hey, I should be able to do a pull-up. And, you know, if we take the CrossFit world, how many women versus how many men can do a strict pull-up? It's like, it's a really small number, you know, in comparison, because it was just like, oh, we don't lift weights, right? And so it's very, very much changing, which is important and good to see for the next generation.
I agree. Yeah. It's super cool.
Tell me, was it hard for you to invest into the fertility journey and supplements and sauna? Because, right, like it all gets expensive. Mm-hmm. Was it hard for you to invest when you didn't, like you haven't been struggling with infertility?
I would say I looked at it in pieces. So, I mean, there's definitely, you could have done all the supplements, all like the sauna,
all the labs, all the things,
all the labs all at once. And I think I had talked to you about this and I was like, can we just kind of do one step at a time? And I think had I come to you with challenges and had we been struggling, then that would have totally changed the script. But I think I looked at it more as, okay, let's do it as like a one step at a time. So for the supplements, I think I was doing like half doses on some of them just to like prolong and to just see, and because I wanted Brian to do them too. So I was like, okay, this does add up really quickly, but okay, let's just do half is better than zero. So let's start there. And then I remember for like the juicer, I think I asked for it for Christmas, and you know, it wasn't like I didn't start it right away in the program, but it was like a few months after that I had added that in. And then things like the sauna, it's something that was, again, something that I was just, I think I watched for a sale to happen, you know? So like,
totally, yeah.
Certainly it's not Like, it's not cheap. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Like, it does take an investment. But I think to me, it was, well, okay, like the sauna, I thoroughly enjoy this. And I'm not,
the sauna is probably one of the better, like the sauna and the air filters are probably my favorite.
Yes.
I just freaking love that Jasper.
Yeah. Well, oh my gosh, it's so good. But yeah. I think even I had reached out to my insurance and I said, hey, if I have a requisition, can I push this through? They said, yeah, sure. So, I mean, even my Oura Ring, I pushed through insurance. So it was, you know, they were like little things to help with it. But all in all, I was...
There's a will, there's a way.
Exactly. You kind of just make it work. But I think I didn't like jump in fully in it. I just did smaller steps.
Which is the bonus of being proactive, because you don't have to, right?
You don't have to.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, and Brian saw it too as well. So I was like, I would talk about it for a little bit and kind of get his thoughts on it. Be like, hey, if I got a sauna, like, would you have interest in using that? And, you know, and little things, he'd be like, yeah, actually, that sounds great. So that kind of motivated me too, because I'm like, okay, if he's on board, I'm on board. Okay, this makes a lot of sense. It's not just me using it. And so, yeah, little things like that were helpful, but certainly is an investment.
Yep. No, thank you for sharing that. I do think it's like when you're not struggling, it's being proactive, but then it's just figuring out and watching for sales and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
When asking people the birthday gifts, like, I love that, because that's honestly like...
Just like little things, yeah.
I don't want X, Y, and Z plastic this year. Can you give me this? Like, we just live in a time where you could go out and buy whatever you need in perspective, right? Like, it's not the same when my parents were like, we only had one toy for Christmas that was given to us. Right. So it's just being more mindful how you're consuming and where things are coming from. And then just like, whether it's asking for money or asking...
Yeah. Well, that's what, you know, I would, like, just ask
for. Sauna is a big gift, but maybe someone can give $100 and then another person 50 and whatever, you can add up.
Well, I remember seeing, I think it was for one of the pieces I was getting, I had said to my mom, she was looking for a Christmas present idea. And I said, hey, this is what I want to buy. Do you want to put some money towards that? And she's, okay, yeah, great. Because they know it's going towards something. So it wasn't an issue.
Yeah. Tell us about the pregnancy and how it's been. Mm-hmm. What's your experience?
Yeah. So I mean, we kind of talked about this briefly, but when I guess I first thought I was pregnant, like I suspected something was different. And I don't know if you just kind of, it's intuition. You just feel something.
Well, when you know what your norm is in your body and you've been tracking it, you can tell when something is off. But it's not off because, and I mean, I think you've been on a couple calls where some of the other members were like, oh, I just feel terrible in this. And I'm like, take a pregnancy test. And then they take a pregnancy test like, oh my God, I was pregnant. And it was like, yeah, you know? Yeah.
No, and I remember I was in, we were at our family's cabin over the holidays. And I was like on touring skis, skidding up the hill with my dad. And we'd come home, and I'd be like, gosh, I'm really tired. But so was he. We both nap in the afternoon. And so I didn't really think much of it. I remember, like, I'm like,
oh, I should take a nap with my dad. And everyone's like what?
On the couch. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, it is a big workout. So,
yeah.
No, honestly, it kind of the first trimester. I mean, I don't think the first trimester is a breeze for anybody, to be totally honest. I was really lucky. I was nauseous, but never sick, low energy. And I remember, you know, just like walking the dog was a bit of a chore some days, but I'm in the office most days of the week. So to the extent that my daily activities were changed was not the case. I was still getting up and working out. And just kind of kept a level of normalcy, just because that
mental workouts changed. Do you know what I mean? Like, you weren't pushing hard and taking naps in the afternoon.
Well, and I remember I was running a bit. This would have been January, but I was running on the treadmill, and I would do Sundays. I would be kind of like my running day, and I was like PRing my 5K, and I'm like, okay, I should probably dial this back a little bit because I had just found out I was pregnant. And, but I was feeling good. Like, energy was good, but it was just the recovery was what was poor. And that's what I noticed more. I was like, okay, I pretty good at pushing through, but I would find like my, if I ran really hard on the Sunday, my sleep score the Sunday night would be poor and my Monday would struggle a bit. And so I was like, okay, this is my body saying either if you're going to do this, you need to really prioritize recovery or just dial it back. And so that's what I ended up doing. I just started dialing it back a little bit. And so the first trimester, like, good, all things considering, manageable, positive. And then I think that was you and I were still, I was still part of the group. We were still chit-chatting. And then as I kind of transitioned into the second trimester, I kind of broke away from the group for a bit. And that was kind of energy rebounded. And then honestly, it stayed up really high since I felt really good. I was expecting third trimester to be a little bit more of a, like a slog, to be totally frank. Like I thought, from what I've heard, from what people have told me, they're like, get all your organization and nursery stuff done by the second trimester. Like, do yourself a favor and get ahead of that. And just time flew and life flew. And, you know, it just all this poof, you're in the third trimester and you're like, I have not done anything. So we need to get on that. But I have, like, even, you know, these last couple of weeks, like, certainly by 6-7 o'clock after a full day of work, I'm tired. Like I'm ready to just get horizontal for a little bit, hang with the dog, be in the yard, and just be off my computer and disengage from work and all those activities. But even around the office, people have said, we honestly, if I didn't see you from the waist down, I wouldn't even know you were pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't have
toughness. There is no, yeah.
You're just like clear, mental clarity is still very sharp. You don't have that brain fog. You know, like I haven't felt like my work capacity has diminished in any way because I'm just like too tired. And so for that, I think that that's just like my body's like nutrient dense foods. I have supplements on, like I'm taking them obviously daily. I also,
you're not just like taking one thing. I think there's a lot of people who really underestimate like how much you're actually taking on a regular basis. And then also the quality of it, you know, like we have some people going through the program. They're like, well, but he used to be fine doing this. And I'm like, you are literally taking the best supplements in the world. Even if you're not taking it the full dose or all 10 of them and you're only taking 5, you're still taking like the best thing that you can get right now in the world, arguably. That it's very different. Like your body starts to respond because your cells are constantly rebuilding themselves and they're constantly changing, you know? So it makes me so proud. Like I'm just, we need some beautiful pregnant ladies out there walking around with energy and just redefining it. That it's like, you don't have to be exhausted. You don't have to be puffy. You don't have to be. Mm-hmm. And the work happens way before.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously it's important, everything that you do throughout the pregnancy. But when you do the preparation and you're like making juices or you know when to rest or, you know, I was thinking, I was like, well, you're not going to get tired because you're an endurance athlete. Yeah. So like, you know how to go for long distances. Yeah. So I don't expect you to get too tired.
No. And it is funny, like I'm sure, like people have said, oh, you know, you're really... And I have admitted, I'm like, I feel very fortunate to have had this pregnancy journey. But in the back of my head, it's like, this was not luck. Like, this was 2 years of work that went into that to say, I need to prepare my body for this. And I mean, Brian is the first to admit when anyone says, oh, you guys got pregnant so quickly. He's like, yeah, but like Morgan did.
Yeah, she was nuts for 2 years.
Yeah, she was crazy on the supplements and the healthcare. And I mean, it is funny, like of all of our group of friends, like I'm the health freak, for lack of a better word.
I love it. Wear that title proud.
But I do. I wear it proudly because I'm like, you know what? Let's shift the norm a little bit more towards the health freak side versus the complacent of society. And I think too, like one of the things I had to change, obviously alcohol consumption is just like a very inherent, like natural thing that just comes back. As soon as you start focusing on your health, there are no you can't outweigh the pros of alcohol. Like it just doesn't.
There's no pros. Yeah.
There's no pros. It just doesn't hold value in your life anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember too, I'd be at events and like, as I said, Brian's very social. So we'd be at, you know, barbecues or outings or in bar or whatever. And, you know, I'd have my soda in line or maybe I'd have one drink or half a drink or something, depending on the event and if I was wanting it. But at the end of the day, I'm like 10 o'clock. See ya. I'm out of here. My sleep is so valuable. I'm such a morning person.
Have you seen the data?
You've seen this data.
You're like showing them. Look at this.
Oh, the amount of times I've just pulled up the app and I'm like, okay, here's what you need to know. But it's because more and more people are wearing the Oura Ring. And I'm like, well, are you tracking your HIV? How is it looking? What's your recovery? What is, and we're starting, and it's just like, if you don't have anything to compare against, because that's how I started, I had no benchmarks. And then working like the chart you gave us of like, here's the range of like excellent, here's good, and here's needs work. And so when you're like, oh, I'm in the like needs work category, it's like, okay.
But only on the nights that I drink. And then when I don't drink my, right? Like I've had people quit drinking because they're just like, this is so bad for me. And I'm like, yeah. I know.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But it was like very much, you have to make that mental shift in there too of like, what is important to me and where do I hold value and where do I want to put my energy? And, you know, I think it was Taylor Swift in her podcast. She was saying, energy is expensive and not everyone can afford it. And I think like that just like hits home for in so many levels, but you're like, it's exactly it. It's like, where do I want to spend my energy? And is this worth it? And so I think that was kind of also a mental part of the journey of how do I want to spend my time and energy? And Brian laughs now because I'll say, Brian, I don't care if they think that about me, or I'm very unfazed if they have an opinion about this, because I don't care. Yes. And I'm just gonna move on with my life. Like it's fine. And it's, you know, some people I think it's easy to get flustered over things and stress about it. And I think that that's whole journey. I'm like, this is what's important to me. This is what I want to achieve. And I still make time to have fun and see my friends, but how I do that is different.
Yep.
And that's just something you learn as part of the process.
I just think it's somebody who you become. I was the same. I mean, you know, when I quit drinking, I just remember it was because of CrossFit. I'm like, if I drink, then I feel like crap. My training is ruined for 2 or 3 days, like in terms of being able to really push and have capacity again. And I'm like, I can't, if I drink 2 or 3 times a week, which I was back then I'm essentially ruining. I only have 1 or 2 good CrossFit sessions a week. And so it just didn't make sense. And I love what you said about being the health rep. Like, can we make being healthy cool again? And
yeah,
I really think about that with my kids, because when my girls go to school, so like my eldest is almost 8, she thinks that sugar is lame, like eating cookies or eating. And I'm like, that's right. So I want to teach that. Because it's like, since when is it cool to eat chemicals, you know, or to do whatever, like, or to have allergies, or so just making being healthy cool again. I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm about. And I love that you have made that switch, because it's now there's 2 of us that are out there, and there's more than 2 of us, but you know what I mean? And then you'll have your baby, and there's certain things you'll look at your baby and you'll be like, I'm not putting this stuff on my kid, or I'm not putting this on their skin or whatever it is. You just think so differently. And my shift, because when I had Nods, I was like, I don't want to like put crappy lotions on her because she's so pure, and I don't want to feed her this food. But we were still like, back then we were not filtering everything, and you know, and then I'm like, why am I not doing this for myself? That doesn't make sense. And so then that's when I started the switch, and it's, you know, it's been 8 years and we're still switching certain products out or certain things out, because it just takes forever to really get the chemicals and the toxins out of your home.
It's so true. And that's kind of, I feel like our next, I don't want to say uphill battle, but I have said to Brian, I'm like, if like even things like a plastic bottle versus a glass bottle. And I said to Brian, I don't drink out of plastic bottles. Why would we give that to our child? And so it's just like, I think it's, to your point, you just have to like jump in and make the switch. And then I think to the extent that you have other, you know, family involved, you have to kind of say, you know what, this is what we're choosing.
And this is why, if you want to follow right along, if you don't, totally fine also.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't, yeah. But at the same time, like, don't feed our kids artificial dyes and sugars and whatever, because that's like, you want to be the fun, you know, whomever. It's like, no, like, okay, if we want, and this is, I mean, I grew up in a house where we always baked everything from scratch. My mom's and sister are excellent bakers. So we never had like go to the store and get cookies. It was like, if you want a cookie, you make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's very much been instilled in my family for sure. And even now, like, it's, you know, rare. If I get a treat, it's maybe from the farmer's market or something where I know it's, you know, it's not perfect, but it's certainly better than like a grocery store or gas station or something like that. And I've kind of shared that with Brian as well. Like, okay, when we're raising our kids, you know, let's think about those sorts of things. Like, what are the quality of food we're feeding them? What's the quality of the environment, the air, you know? And it's like, they don't have to be, you know, we don't have to be perfect, but if we can control some like really big influences, they're going to come out ahead because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, the preconception care is everything. That it, don't get me wrong, the environment and all of it really matters too. But when the preconception care is there, it just, because that's the genetic code that gets downloaded and the methylation pattern and all that stuff that gets downloaded. And then how the body works with it, works with the metals, works with the environmental toxin is so different. It can excrete it a lot easier versus keeping it and so on and so forth. So it's very exciting. Morgan, as we're finishing this off, is there anything, like, think about Morgan 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you would say, a piece of advice that you would give to women out there listening who might be in the same situation that you were 3 years ago, 5 years ago?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say we all need to detox. That's something that there's just so much. We just are in the environment, the world we're in. You can't not need a detox. Everyone benefits from it. And I think just small changes add up. I think it's easy to, and as we kind of addressed, to see, you know, here's all of the things you can do and it's going to cost you this much to do that. And it's going to be this much investment of both time and money. But the little things do add up and I think help build the confidence to get you to the next piece and build that, you know, it's just, I think it doesn't take much to move the needle in the right direction.
Yeah. I think that what I picked up from you, it sounds like, and if you're the kind of person listening to this that you really like data, it was like the Oura Ring was a big needle mover for you because it allowed you to see how everything else was impacting you. Like, I remember having conversations about your sleep and you're like, my heart rate is dropping, but it's not dropping until right before I'm about to wake up, which we're like, right. Oh, well, you're not getting enough sleep. So if just knowing what kind of person you are and if you need data, something like that can move the needle so much more for you, because then you make choices like going to bed earlier, not drinking, watching your stress, because now you're like, why did I have such crappy sleep? I didn't do anything. Oh, I was at a computer for 10 hours straight and I didn't do any movement. So then you get that feedback and you start changing it.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Well, thank you, Morgan. I'm so excited for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I agree. It wasn't luck. I love my proactive women. I mean, I love all the women. I want everyone to have lots of babies and I want you guys to have a beautiful experience. And I know sometimes we can't control that because you will just have the experience you need to have. Mm-hmm. But the more that we can take into our hands, there's a lot more that we can control. And I think you did just such a fantastic job. So I'm really glad it's paying off.
Well, thank you. Thanks for all your help to get here. I couldn't have done it without you. That's for sure.
Thank you. Thanks, Morgan.
Thanks, Jane.